This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Are you one of the many people who dislikes the sound of your own voice? Now, there's an app for that. The Truvox app, developed at the University of Cincinnati, offers vocal coaching that's accessible and can help its users change how their voices sound. Joining me now to discuss the app, how it works, and why it's important is University of Cincinnati Associate Professor Vesna Novak. Thanks for being here, Vesna.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
It's a pleasure. UC is a financial supporter of Cincinnati Public Radio. You know, we've talked on this program before about gender-affirming care, often in the context of hormone therapy or surgeries, but people can seek to change their voices as part of gender-affirming care, too. Talk about why that's so important for some transgender people. What are some of the challenges people can face when they feel like their voices don't match their gender identities?
Right. So as you've said, transgender people have a different gender identity than assigned at birth, and you can do surgeries, hormones. People do forget about voice. For trans women, you can start estrogen, and it will do nothing for your voice, for example. So someone can look like a really cute woman and come into a bar and be like, hello, I would like to have a beer, please.
Which can be awkward.
It can be awkward. There's both outside danger where you might feel like you're being judged for the way your voice sounds. And there's the internal stress of like, I just don't like the way your voice sounds. And we started working on this for transgender people, but that's a problem for everyone. No one likes their voice, really.
Right. No kidding. I hope Beyonce likes her voice. There are a few people that I really hope they do, but I don't even know.
I want to believe.
Yeah. I know some transgender women have surgery on their voice boxes to try to achieve a more kind of traditionally feminine sounding voice. Others go through vocal coaching or therapy. How common are those approaches?
So surgery you can do, but it is expensive and it's not super well developed, at least in the eyes of transgender people. They're kind of like, people are going to muck with my throat and it might not even turn out well.
So scary.
Yeah, we interviewed like 20 transgender people a couple years back and most of them weren't even thinking about it. Vocal coaching you can do. It takes 20, 30 hours to get somewhere you want to be. And a lot of times, if you have insurance to cover it, that's great. But if you don't, which is pretty common, you're going to be paying $100 an hour for these sessions.
Oh, wow.
And people are like, now I need to find someone who can do this, which if I live in Montana, there's probably no one there, and then I have to pay them. I wish there was just an app for this. And the app is also nice because, like, people stress out if they're being judged for their voice, and they're like, this app cannot judge me. It's a machine. I can just do this in private.
Well, let's talk about your app, Truvox. What is it and how does it work?
Okay, so it's right now mostly PC-based app for, at the moment, transgender women to help them make their voice sound more what you would call traditionally feminine, if you subscribe to that. Mm-hmm. And it has some basic instructions, but the meat of the thing is it has interactive exercises. You pull it up, and it will say, for a starting exercise, it'll say, here's your pitch right now. You're at this pitch. See if you can go up here, and then you'll try, and mm-hmm. it'll show you this is how you're doing. And then if you can do that, it'll be like, now do a stepladder kind of thing. Go like, oh, kind of up and down. And it kind of gives you feedback as you're doing it to try to kind of give you vocal skills to change your voice in a way that you might enjoy better.
Oh, and it really, and you can, then I guess you can feel in your throat how those different pitches and sounds feel.
You can feel it in your throat. People appreciate the outside feedback because a lot of it, the feedback that people classically get is like, feel that there's like a tickling in this spot in your throat. And people say, that means nothing to me. But if we show you on the screen, like, here's where you are if you talk like this, here's where you are if you talk like this, people are like, okay, I get it. I can figure this out mm-hmm. as I go.
Yeah. We're talking about an app that can help people change the sound of their voices. Do you have questions or comments about the app, or have you tried other ways to change the sound of your own voice? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. What inspired you to develop this app?
I am, of course, transgender, and I had a lot of stress about my voice back in the day. Now I don't care. But back in the day, I talked to a lot of people, and it was just like a thing that no one seemed to be doing much with. So even if you wanted to do this something about your voice, there was no real way to figure it out. You could start paying a lot, or you could read unreliable internet information. And before this, I was doing biomedical research. So I was doing arm rehabilitation for people with stroke, which is, if you think about it, it's not totally different because you're like, my body is not able to do this thing, and I'm trying to get my body to do a thing that I'm not able to do, and I just need some guidance on how to achieve that. So we were doing this for like stroke, brain injuries, and it was just like, yeah, teach people to do things with their body that they were not able to do beforehand.
Yeah, kind of how can I make my body cooperate with me?
Exactly.
Yeah. I think that's so interesting. And do you mind if we talk about your journey a little bit? You said you were very self-conscious about your voice back in the day. Now you don't care. I want to talk a little bit more about that because I think, you know, there is this feeling of a traditional feminine sounding voice, a traditional masculine sounding voice, but even people assigned male or female at birth who are cisgender might not match those traditional ideas of what a woman or a man should sound like. Do you think there's just too much emphasis placed on this? I guess I wonder what your feelings are as you've gone through this yourself.
You know, when we started working on this, someone was like, transgender people should just read feminist theory and understand that the way your voice sounds doesn't matter, which is like, yeah, if you're happy with your voice, roll with it. If you're unhappy with it, like land of opportunity, if you don't like your voice, you should be able to change it. If you're transgender or not, there's plenty of like guys who wish they had a manlier voice, plenty of women who wish that people would stop talking over them in meetings. So it's kind of like no one should be forced to change their voice if they want to. But at the same time, if you don't like your voice, you don't have to conform to some society standard, but just do with your voice what you want to. Why not? Like, you're not hurting anyone.
Sure. And is this app, you mentioned that it's really targeted right now, I think you said for transgender women, but it sounds like it's something that could help all kinds of people. If you're a cisgender man who would like a deeper voice or feels self-conscious about that, or if you're a cisgender woman who gets talked over in meetings or who's told their voice is shrill or some of the other, you know, stereotypes that people put onto women's voices, is this available for everybody?
So right now, we got funding from the National Institute of Health to focus on this problem. We are exploring other problems right now, and we're working with other people. So we're actually collaborating with a team out of New York who started on this doing basically speech disorders for kids, which is not a transgender issue, but it's kids who can't make certain sounds, and they kind of benefit for doing similar thing, like similar kind of exercises with computer feedback. People have suggested it for singers, for example, just like basic singing so you can hit that scale. People have suggested it for transgender men, cisgender men. It's not just the one application. Switching it to a different group of people is, once you have the basics down, you can generalize. It's just we happen to get money for this.
Sure, that makes sense. Well, we are talking about an app that can help people change the sound of their voices. We're going to continue our discussion in just a moment. Later in the program, we'll talk about why audiences are demanding more authentic stories about people with disabilities. This is Cincinnati Edition. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're continuing our conversation about an app that helps people change the sound of their voices. My guest is University of Cincinnati Associate Professor Vesna Novak. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, or you can email talk at wvxu.org. Before the break, we were talking about kind of the personal experience you had that led to your interest in developing this app. What kind of research was involved in creating this?
Okay, so the first thing we did was we said we should figure out what people actually want. Shocking concept. So we went and interviewed a lot of transgender people to basically find out if they want this, why they would want this, what they would want out of it, and what they wouldn't want out of it. And we got a lot of good feedback. They tell you things like, it needs to train this thing, it needs to train this thing. And things like, don't store my voice on your computer. If you do that, I will not use it. Mm. So we did that, and we kind of put a design plan together based on these interviews of like 20 and more people. Yeah. And then we just kind of said, we'll start with pitch. So the current version does pitch training, which is not necessarily the main thing, but it's kind of the starting point of a lot of voice training. And what we do is, it's still pretty janky, but every now and then we send it out to users and say, tell us everything that's wrong with it and we will fix it. And we are hoping that next year we should be able to basically run a clinical trial is what we call it, but basically we will be letting people use this independently to see if they improve their satisfaction with their voice.
So is this kind of in a beta phase now? Is that the right way to say it?
Yes. Anyone can go look at it and play with it right now. We are not broadly advertising it because it's just in a beta phase, as you said.
Okay. Just before I forget, do you mind saying what the website is that people can go to test this out if they want to?
Absolutely. You can go check it out right now at ceas5.uc.edu/transvoice.
Wonderful. And we talked about how really anybody can go to that website, try this out, and it's free, right?
Absolutely. So we are funded by federal funds, and part of the obligation is that we will release this open source next year. So we are not allowed to charge people, and we are going to put the code out there so people who want to do something different with it can just do it.
Mm-hmm. What you mentioned, that some of the early information that you got from people that you talked to was, do not keep my voice recorded or stored somewhere. What kind of privacy protections are there? Because I think a lot of us have been trained that if something's free, it's not really free, like that somebody's gathering your data or something. What are the privacy protections?
This is a legit concern. Like, theoretically, anyone could access your data. In our case, what we do to preserve privacy is you do talk into it. All of the code, like, we are currently making a version that is not even online that you could just download and use on your computer without an internet connection. Right now, you do have to go to the website, but we actually have no way of storing your voice recordings. If someone wanted to steal them, they would have to hack your computer as you are speaking into it, because we just analyze your voice, we pull your pitch number out of it, and then we just store, like, the ability right now we have to store is, like, your pitch was 180 hertz, and that came from this IP. And that's all we are able to store. And right now, by default, we don't even store that.
So it's not even a recording of the actual voice. It's just data about somebody's voice.
We figure that's probably the safest right now, because we do not have a need to store that voice recording. We are just keeping that. If you opt into it, we can store that so that you can look 2 weeks later and be like, oh, heck yes, I am 20% better than I used to be.
Okay. Well, and that brings me to, you know, you were talking about how this app works. I imagine if you are somebody who really doesn't like the sound of your own voice, the last thing you want to do is talk into an app and hear it come back to you. Is that part of how this works?
that was like one of the main things that they told us. And actually, the thing about the app right now is we will never play your voice back at you because people hate that so much. So what we do is we give you numbers. So for instance, we'll give you a line that says 200 hertz, and we say, try talking at this. And then we give you a second line relative to that line to show where you actually are. And people like that because they say, oh, this is just a number. There's no subjective perception of this. I don't have to hear myself. And people said, if I have to hear myself, I'm not doing this. Mm. So really, if you try it, it's like it's showing you numbers that summarize your voice and let you change it, but it's never forcing you to listen to yourself.
Oh, and it's not giving you some kind of grade or smiley face or frowny face, none of that stuff.
No, because people even asked, some people said, tell me how feminine I sound. And other people said, no, I don't want to be compared to anything except like an objective number that I'm trying to reach, like 200 hertz. No one can judge me for being not 200 hertz.
Sure. Yeah. You just want to, if you want to set a goal for yourself, you can see from this app if you're how close you are to that goal.
Yeah. A lot of people do not want to be compared to other people's journeys and identities, and we want to respect that.
Yeah. I understand there are other online resources available free of charge, things like YouTube, tutorials, online classes. Talk about how TrueVox is different.
So I think there's a lot of value in the other resources. I like the YouTube videos personally. They give you a lot of suggestions for exercises. People who do voice practice say it's kind of like doing yoga off a video. You can try to hit a pose, but you have no idea how you're doing. And that's kind of the thing we do better, in the sense that we are giving you immediate feedback of how you are doing in this specific exercise. And you can immediately change it and watch the numbers change and the displays change and kind of see what works for you. Mm-hmm. If you were to go to, like, let's say, an online voice practice group, it's going to work great. We do not claim that we would do better than what a human coach would do. We're just saying, for a lot of people, like, even acknowledging that this is a thing you want to change is a big step. It can be a big investment for someone to be like, I'm going to sign up for a group. I'm going to find a group. So we're like, you know, takes 15 seconds, go on our website, play around. It's a very, like, no one's judging you, and there's a very low barrier to entry. If you want to get a human coach or a human buddy to practice with, go for it. It'll help you out as well.
Yeah. And again, that website is ceas5.uc.edu/transvoice. We will also have that on our website, wvxu.org. You were talking about how this app can really help with pitch, and how people can kind of play around with it and see how they're doing in terms of their goals. I wonder, going beyond the source of your grant or the purpose mm-hmm. of your grant, which is trans women, looking at other people, it might help. Can it help if someone feels like their voice sounds, for example, more immature than they are as a person? Can it help with those kinds of things?
Yes, absolutely. Fundamentally, what you've got is you've got signals and signal analysis. Things like a nasal voice or like not enough resonance, a lot of that, you're measuring the same things that you would, for example, for transgender women. Like, we don't just do pitch. We are aiming for things like, how resonant is your voice? How nasal is your voice? Those numbers, we can pull the same numbers for, let's say, an immature voice, a voice that doesn't carry. You would use similar numbers to describe it. What we would need to add is just different exercises. We would swap out the, let's say, trans feminine exercises and put in the mature voice exercises, but the underlying voice analysis would stay the same. We would just have to give you different guidance based on that.
And we talked earlier about the criticism that some women, some cisgender women receive about voices being shrill. There is also, we hear a lot on the radio about people with vocal fry. Mm-hmm. Can this app help with things like that?
You can quantify vocal fry. There's basically signal processing numbers you can pull to quantify vocal fry. Nothing describes anything perfectly, but if you're doing signal analysis, you can be like, here's a metric that corresponds to vocal fry. If you work on this metric, here's an exercise. We don't guarantee that you'll be better, but fundamentally, you just gotta pull the number out of your voice and figure out an exercise for it. So most applications you can think of, there's some way you could work on it.
Mm-hmm. You said it takes like 15 seconds to log on, get started with this, or roughly. We won't hold you to that number.
Thank you.
But how long does it typically take for people who use this app to see results and progress towards the goals they're trying to reach?
So I would say if you pull an exercise up right now and you do that exercise for like 15 minutes, you will probably say, I am now better at that exercise. If you want to actually like come back tomorrow and do it again, you'll probably still be bad at it. You will have forgotten that. It will probably take you like a couple of weeks of working on these exercises. And then you'll be like, I am now good at these exercises and I'm starting to see maybe some benefits. Really, the way that voice coaching people will tell you is, it's going to take you months for your voice to sound better in like every day.
Consistently.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can see improvements inside the exercise like within a week, but it's going to take you months for like people to tell you, wow, you sound so girly today or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, I guess that's just, is that just the muscle memory and kind of your body remembering what you wanted to do?
It is essentially, yeah. When you, it's like any learning, it's like any motor skills, it's a motor skill. When you start doing it, you're consciously thinking about it. You have to be consciously thinking and correcting. And you need that visual feedback that the app gives you to be able to correct. Eventually, it kind of moves into a different part of brain and becomes a subconscious process. But it's like any motor skill, like throwing things, kicking things. You got to think about it real hard until it becomes just an automated process.
Yeah.
For you.
Is it like exercising any other kind of muscle that you have to, you know, you're even when you're learning new, like you said, yoga, you don't learn that right away. Do you have to exercise your voice the same way you exercise other muscles in your body?
You should. It is not that different. And honestly, part of the app that we have for the future is recognizing that it's not just about like having a good exercise, it's also getting you to do it so that you're not just like flaking out and forgetting to do it. So we're also trying to make it motivational so that you'll keep coming back and continuing that practice.
Yeah, the forgetting to do it is my...
Absolutely.
That's my big hurdle. I think that's what a lot of people deal with. I want to get maybe a little bit philosophical with you. You know, you were talking about, again, before the break, we were talking about your own journey, how you used to be worried about your voice. Now, I think your voice is great. I don't know how much you've worked on it, but I think it's terrific. Do you kind of hope there is a time in the future where an app like this isn't needed because people just accept that, hey, we all sound different?
Oh, absolutely. Like, I think if we lived in a different society, people would just be like, yeah, have whatever voice you want. We are not going to judge you for it. We are sadly not anywhere close to living in that society. So we're kind of like, even if we're transgender people, like once you've done this enough, you might stop caring and not even need those skills. But that's not where a lot of people are now. So ideally, we would like it if people didn't need this, but that's not a society that we live in right now.
Yeah. And I guess that's each person's individual choice, too.
Absolutely. We're not forcing anyone to sound a certain way. We're just like, if you want to have the option, we want to make it easier for you to have those options.
Yeah. Well, I want to say again, this website to access the app is ceas5.uc.edu/transvoice. That link is now on our website, wvxu.org, and you can easily get to the app from there. I have been talking with University of Cincinnati Associate Professor Vesna Novak. Thank you so much for your time today. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
Up next, we'll hear from film critic T.T. Stern-Enzi about how films and TV are changing when it comes to stories about people with disabilities. This is Cincinnati Edition.